What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
All right, CeCe, we've talked all week about how the Cowboys get themselves back on track. Does that involve getting Ezekiel Elliott more touches throughout the game?
This is the one thing about Dallas that it's so funny, because when we cover the Cowboys, we always just talk about Dak, Zeke, and the star players. But the only way for the star players to be effective, like Dak gets criticized, the offensive line plays bad. Like, we make a little mention, the offensive line wasn't good, but Dak was bad. Like, Zeke can't be great. That can't be great unless that offensive line gets back to where they used to be. And it seems like they're maybe never going to get to that level. The last couple years, they've been very inconsistent. And because of injuries and because maybe they're a little overrated. But right now, us talking about, well, how does Zeke get back going? We can't talk about Zeke unless we talk about that offensive line. They better be creative. They better try to do some different things, give them some help. You better try to play at least one tight end at all times. And I would try to play as upward as much as three tight ends. I would go unbalanced line. Yes, I'm going to get Zeke started, but I need a scheme to get him started. We are not the Dallas Cowboys of 3 years ago, where we can line up in a regular pro set and just knock you off the ball. They're not that way. They got replacement players at left tackle, replacement player at right tackle. The best part of that offensive line is right in the middle, the center, and that right guard. And you have to be able to generate the power of that offense right through the middle. And how I'm going to be able to do that? You have to do it a lot of different ways. I would run the ball with the wide receivers, run a few more speed sweeps. You have to be creative in the running game. Now is when a young coordinator in Kellen Moore, like, you get ready to test him and see if he's worth the money. All right, him and John Kitna, the new quarterback coach, you have to be creative when you have injuries. Yes, we know you have to run the ball, but I sound like an idiot saying, oh, Zeke needs 30 carries. Well, where are you going to run to? Because they're going to have a lot of opposite color jerseys in the backfield off that left edge and off that right edge where they have replacement players. So if they don't come up with some different scheme, you're going to see Zeke's numbers continue to be just mediocre.
So 2 points on this. One about how they're using him and the other about the importance of Zeke playing well. How they're using him, I don't really take issue with. His touches are down. Why? Well, because in week one, we knew he was on a pitch count. They blew out the Giants anyway, so it didn't matter. Week four, he had 18 carries. He just couldn't run the ball. It was against New Orleans. They tried to feed him the ball. 18 carries for 35 yards. Last week, the fewest rushes of the season, 12. Well, when you're down 31-3 at one point in a football game, you're going to be taken out of your run game. So I don't have an issue with how Dallas is using him. But the more important point is his importance. We know they are 1-8 when he doesn't have 75 yards rushing in his career. Maybe just as important. They're 15-2 when he has at least a buck 10. Now, sometimes that can be misleading. It's like, okay, well, yeah, because they were blowing you out, so they fed the running back. No, I dove into it this morning. That 15-2, seven of those are one-score games. They are, and by the way, those times he was there 1-8 when he doesn't have 75 yards, it's not because they abandoned the run because they were getting annihilated. Four of those are three-point games or less. It is truly, if Zeke has a great game, the Cowboys are nearly unbeatable. If he has a mediocre game, they have nearly no path to victory. And then if it's somewhere in the middle, they're somewhere in the middle. So whether it's through the offensive line, play calling, bringing on more tight ends, Jason Witten playing better as supposedly once upon a time a really good blocker, whatever it is, the reason they gave Zeke $100 million, the reason we said he had leverage in his holdout in an era where running backs never have leverage, is because this is still true. He is the most important and dynamic player on that offense, and the Cowboys over these last 4 years don't have a history of success that doesn't involve Zeke Elliott playing great football.
If you remember in the offseason, and perhaps a lot of it was because Jerry Jones was negotiating with Zeke, Jerry Jones even said, we're going to go into the season focused a little bit more on the pass and not as much reliant on Ezekiel Elliott. Mm-hmm. But how much of it is that Kellen Moore is just scheming a more pass-happy offense, and maybe the goal is not to run everything through Zeke, or is it just the fact that, I don't know, you need to win other ways than just running it?
For Dallas to get into the playoffs and for Dallas to be a Super Bowl contender, you have to have variation within the offense. We know they have been exceptional running it. They couldn't get any better at running the football. The only way they can get better is doing things, either getting the same yardage, running the ball, by doing it a different way. That by getting the guy outside. Now, typically, if they had their tackles, I would say get the ball on the outside. But one of the biggest differences in this year and previous year is, and I believe it's training camp, you don't see the big run by Zeke. You don't see that 40, 50-yard run. If you add one of those in there, every other game, not every game, you can't expect that. Then you start to see the explosive plays. But for them to reach their potential, they got to be able to throw the ball and throw the ball down the field. We can sit here and be like, oh, Zeke's numbers are this. That will get you 10-6. That will get you maybe one playoff win. It won't get you no Super Bowl trophy. So, yes, they do have to have balance. But in doing that, the proper balance is the wide receivers have to consistently make plays, and they haven't been able to do that. The most consistent thing has been Ezekiel Elliott. So, yes, he is the table setter for the Dallas Cowboys, and they need him to be consistent, but it's hard when you have that offensive line that they have.
And one last very small point. He also is the heartbeat of the team, and we've heard Cowboys say this, and it's also clear when you're watching them. When he is eaten and he is running, it is you can feel the offense have an element of momentum similar to a few years ago, Cam Newton's MVP season. When Cam was doing the Superman and doing the first down signals, you could see the exuberance and the almost momentum shift to his side of the ball. I think Zeke does the same thing for Dallas.
I think we're missing out a lot on Dallas. I believe their biggest problem is their run defense. Everybody wants to talk about Dak. Everyone wants to talk about Zeke. Talk about Amari. If that run defense continues to play that way, then you can't win time of possession. There is no catalyst to any type of comeback. Look at the playoff game. Look at a couple games this year. Them not being able to stop runners because they're undersized and their linebackers aren't making the plays that they made last year.
Well, a good week for all three units to look good. They're taking on the Jets Sunday, so we'll see how they do there. Here, first things first, joined by Super Bowl champ Chris Canty. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Jenna. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Yourself?
I'm good. Ready to talk some football.
Bro, so, you suiting up tonight? The Giants need you.
Nah, man. I'm a civilian, CC. I ain't got like that anymore, man.
Smooth around the face. Maybe not as slim around the waist. They can use you tonight, dog.
Let's talk about a different team. Checking in with the Kansas City Chiefs. Only 5 games into the season, and reigning MVP Patrick Mahomes is already a candidate for current MVP Patrick Mahomes. The mobile superstar quarterback on pace for another incredible season, but that mobility took a hit last week when his already injured ankle was stepped on by his teammate. Yesterday, a collective sigh of relief as Mahomes said he should be good to go Sunday against the Texans. Kenny, you worried about Mahomes' injury? He says it's good, but it's good enough.
Yeah, I'm a little concerned about it. I mean, you can't ignore what's happened the last couple of weeks. Only one passing touchdown in 2 games, and for the first time in the Patrick Mahomes era, the Chiefs were held underneath 26-point scoring. So it's got to be a little bit alarming if you're Andy Reid, but ultimately I trust him. I trust that he's not going to put his quarterback in harm's way. He's going to make sure that Pat Mahomes is healthy enough to go out there and make the requisite plays in order to allow the team to be competitive. But when you look at how teams are defending this Kansas City Chiefs passing attack, a lot of man coverage, it'll be interesting to see if Pat Mahomes can utilize his mobility to extend the down and give those receivers a little bit more time to uncover and create some separation. That's one of the things I'll be looking for this weekend.
Yeah, well, 2 things. As far as concern over Patrick Mahomes' ankle, I'm not concerned. If you look at the practice video from yesterday, he didn't have any extra tape on the ankle in practice. He's a young player, and typically young players, they recover a lot faster. So Sunday's injury, he's back on the field. He wasn't limited at practice. Didn't have the big bandage on it. Didn't have the spat typically over which he had during the game. A spat is what the players put, instead of taping their ankle, they'll tape outside the cleat and tape the sock and everything, it's a more firm fit to secure the ankle a little better. And we saw that week number one, and we also saw it in last week's game. So youth is on his side, so I'm not concerned about that. If there's a concern that I have, I'm not concerned about the man-to-man because I do believe that they'll start lining up in a few more bunch formations and you can get a little more picks, a little more rubs, because when Sammy Watkins is not in there and Tyreek Hill's not in there, they don't have a whole bunch of experienced route runners. So Andy Reid's got to be able to help them out. My biggest concern is Kansas City is with Andy Reid. Is Andy Reid going to ever develop a running game? So let's just say last week he did have the lead. How would they have been able to take the pressure off Patty Mahomes by running out the clock? Because he couldn't run because he was injured. Let's just say hypothetically, how would he be able to do that? Because what I've seen through Andy Reid, he's one of the best play callers that's ever been in the NFL. And over the last 10 years, him and Sean Payton are 1-2. But Sean Payton got a running game. Sean Payton will design some stuff. Sean Payton is trying to punch you in your throat and trying to run that football, even though they have the prolific numbers. The biggest problem in Kansas City is their defense, and will they ever have some type of running game? Because even if he was injured, if I would say, okay, he's injured, what are we going to do? How are they going to protect him? He couldn't.
Right.
He couldn't protect him because there is no running game.
Well, and that's the key here. So if we know the Chiefs defense last year was their undoing, and this year, while it has a lot of new talent, new defensive coordinator, statistically has not been much better. That's one facet of the game. Then there's the offensive side of the ball. You've already said the running game is a concern. So what's left? You got your special teams where the Chiefs have always been good under Dave Taub, and then you have really the most important facet, what can Patrick Mahomes do? And that's where this concern exists if this is a lingering injury that affects his play. If Patrick Mahomes was never allowed to run, if he was a pure drop back passer, I still believe he has the arm talent to be top five quarterback in the league. I think if he just simply stayed in the pocket, statuesque, he's still a top five guy. But what makes him clearly the best quarterback in football is that combined with the improvisation. You mentioned only one touchdown the last two games. You're correct. It was one hell of a touchdown. He rolls to his right, rolls back, rolls to his left, throws across his body. It's unbelievable. Those types of plays that only he and maybe Russell Wilson can make. And so the Chiefs have to have that. Because for the reason the Chiefs are a top five team in this league, the reason the Chiefs are right behind the Patriots as favorites to go to the Super Bowl is because of him. Him and that passing attack. Because the running game is limited. I agree with you. Ever since Kareem Hunt's been off this team, they have had a question mark at running back. The defense been a question mark. In fact, it's actually been an answer. It's just been the wrong answer the last 2 years. It's because of what they can do in the passing game. Now, he does, it would appear, have some reinforcements coming. They think Tyreek Hill is probably going to play this week. Mm-hmm. He is the one guy with Sammy Watkins out that can beat man coverage, and I think teams are afraid to play a lot of man coverage against Tyreek Hill because of his raw speed and his improvements as a route runner. So that will, they haven't had Tyreek Hill since the second quarter of the Jacksonville game. That will be a huge addition. But the Chiefs' path to the Super Bowl is Patrick Mahomes winning league MVP again. Patrick Mahomes being the best player in football again, because that is what they have built this team around.
So how much does the game plan change Sunday against the Texans if he's not, he doesn't have the same mobility, even though he says he's okay? You know he's not going to have the exact same mobility that he had if he was 100% healthy.
No, he's not going to have it. And so if you're Andy Reid, you have to try to get the ball out of his hands as quickly as possible. Now the question becomes, who do you have that can win quickly off the line of scrimmage where he can dump it off? Who's going to be that safety valve for Pat Mahomes? Because they don't have any running game to speak of. I think last week they had less than 40 yards rushing. So, I mean, you've got to try to give your team some balance. And if you can't do it by being able to hand the ball off, let the short passing game be an extension of the running game. So I think that's what they have to look at. But, I mean, as far as his importance to this team, if Pat Mahomes has to miss any extended period of time, the Chiefs season is over from the standpoint of trying to accomplish what they set out to do this season, which is compete for a championship. They ain't doing that without 15 on the field. So
no, absolutely.
I think that's why you have to keep an eye on this ankle injury, because it is one of those things where you're trying to position yourself to compete, and you know that the New England Patriots are trying to position themselves to try to have home field advantage this time around.
And you've already given up one.
Exactly, and you've already given up one. And then, oh, by the way, the guy that you're playing against this week, the guy that's quarterbacking the other team, he's pretty doggone good too. So, I mean, this is going to be a little bit of a challenge. Deshaun Watson threw for 5 touchdown passes last week. You might have to put some points on the scoreboard in order to try to get another win this week. So it'll be interesting.
Look for them to try to force feed Travis Kelce. Didn't have the type of outstanding game you would expect him last week. Couple drops, a little skirmish on the sideline with the enemy on the side. They've kissed and made up and everything. But look for the tight end to be more involved because the wide receivers outside have been inconsistent.
You're ranking the best teams in the NFL, so get to it.
All right, we will do the top 8 as we do when we're doing the best teams in the NFL.
No, we don't. Sometimes you do 6, sometimes you do 7,
best teams
sometimes
in the NFL,
9.
It's going to consistently be 8 because that is exactly 1/4 of the league. So we will start
that's
with
rhyme and reason right
number
there.
8. This team has the single best win any team has in the league this year, the Indianapolis Colts, led by one Jacoby Brissett, really led by Frank Wright, Quentin Nelson, and their great big people. They won in Kansas City to get to 3-2. I understand the Houston Texans are getting the headlines in that division. I trust this team's infrastructure, their offensive line, and their coaching far more than I do Houston. I've got the
Jenna,
number.
He's off to this kind of start.
Okay. All right, we'll see.
Well, hold on. He's got 7 more.
Number 7. Top 3 defense, a team that has taken advantage of a bad schedule, but also the only team to throw a scare into the New England Patriots, the Buffalo Bills. Some people's preseason wildcard pick out of the AFC, I don't know who those some people are. They are overcoming what is terrible quarterback play to consistently be a good team. I think Sean McDermott's an underrated coach. Nobody wants to play the Buffalo Bills right now.
Self-promotion's not a good trait to have, okay?
Okay.
All right.
You got any commentary on the Bills?
Well, I know you picked the Bills. You got to keep them
alive. Oh, I forgot. I didn't know who it was. All right, number 6. One of only 2 undefeated teams in football. You might say, why aren't they higher? I need to see them beat a few more teams. I got some questions about the receivers and maybe even their quarterback still. The San Francisco 49ers, though, what they have done on the ground. See, they're averaging 200 yards rushing per game. We saw Nicky Bosa have his first real flash game of his very young career. Niners, number 6. They can move higher if they win this week, their first real test of the year.
They should definitely be in the top 4. Jenna, top 5 in scoring offense, top 5 scoring defense. 49ers are back. They will be on this list all year, Nick.
And they're very, very eager to shake hands with the opposition. So for no other reason, leave them at number 6.
And people are going to be mad. They're going to say, how can an undefeated team be number 6? Because it's not the standings. It's a power rankings. If it was the standings, you just print them off. This is according to how they're playing. Number 5, the Seattle Seahawks. Very tough NFC West now. The Rams don't even make it. You got 2 teams, 5 and 6. Seattle, they've got a guy right now who's the league MVP in Russell Wilson. Clowney is already paying dividends. Tyler Lockett, last year, a lot of people thought it was an aberration. This year it has not been. We know what they've already beaten the Rams, which puts them in a good position division-wise. Seattle Seahawks, with that great home field advantage and Russell Wilson, they're the 5th best team in football.
Proceed.
Number 4. It's the lowest I've had them all year. It hurts my heart, but I got to be fair. I got to be unbiased. The Kansas City Chiefs.
Wow.
Kansas City Chiefs, they were number 1, but when you lose a game as a double-digit favorite at home, when your quarterback's gimping, when all of a sudden you have injuries on your offensive line, your receiving core, you got to drop a few spots. Now, I think the Chiefs will get right this week at home against Houston, but given the questions on defense, and until we see Mahomes play a full, healthy game, the questions at quarterback, they got to drop out of the top 3 to number 4.
Kansas City should be number 2. I don't care who you got number 1, number 3. They should be number 2.
Okay,
they're the second best team in the league.
Well, I have a feeling the team you're saying that should be number 1 is going to end up being number 3. Number 3 is the New England Patriots. All-time good defense. We have talked a lot about the concerns on offense, and it's real concerns on offense.
You looking for the list?
No, I'm looking for a cup. The drug test is fine.
Okay, well, I'm very interested.
I don't know who number 1
if
is.
You really would think the Patriots on a neutral field would be favored over either of the 2 remaining football teams, because number 2 is the New Orleans Saints. Their ability to withstand injury to their quarterback and their ability to show the full complement of talent, the roster, coaching staff, coordinators, and the other 52 guys has been exceptional. They have not had an easy schedule, yet they're 4-1. They've already beaten Houston, Seattle, and Dallas. 2 teams that are on this list, and I know some people would have Dallas on this list. I've got the Saints at number 2.
They have been the most impressive, but that would get them at number 3. New England should be number 1, and Kansas City should be number 2.
Well, that means to the team I have number one, you would have outside of the top three, and that is the Green Bay Packers. Number one turnover differential in football. Maybe the toughest open of the season schedule of any good team. At Chicago win. Home Minnesota. Dominated in Dallas. They're doing it without Aaron Rodgers playing great, and I would say without Aaron Rodgers fully comfortable in this offense yet, and they just won last week without Devontae Adams. This is a team that is staring at 12-4 as a basement for their season, assuming Rodgers stays healthy. Aaron Jones coming off his best game of his career. Right now, they're the most dangerous team in football.
Yeah, how long is Aaron Rodgers going to be happy being a supporting character?
As long as supporting character, as long as this movie keeps winning the Oscar, which is, of course, the
And I don't
right
believe they're going to run Aaron Jones like that every week.
Well, I don't think
Devontae Adams is going to be hampered for at least a month.
Okay, well, right now, through 5 weeks, I think the best team in the league has been the Green Bay Packers. Aaron Jones coming off the best game of his career. You were right about Devontae Adams' toe injury. That was a concern. They still managed to hang 34 on the Dallas Cowboys. There is Nick's list through week five.
Right,
your eight best teams in
the
NFL.
Man.
I like it.
Thank you, Jen. I appreciate that.
Okay, quick math. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. Obvious. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So, to reduce costs and headaches, smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, accessed from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. And you're improving efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math. See how you'll profit with NetSuite. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/FTF. netsuite.com/FTF. netsuite.com/FTF.
The Patriots host the Giants tonight. That's on Fox. With little hope for the G-men, it seems like a good get-right game for New England. So, CC, the player the Pats most need to get the offense on track going forward is blank.
Jenna, his name is Marshall Newhouse, and he happens to play left tackle. And if you happen to hear his name an awful lot in the telecast,
it ain't great.
That means, no. His mama don't want to hear his name. His English teacher from high school don't want to hear his name. His college coach don't want to hear his name. But they've had problems. Fourth left tackle in 3 years. Tom Brady frustrated with the first half, lack of productivity. Tom Brady getting hit too many times in week number five. We need to protect that backside for the 40, soon to be, what is he, 42?
Marshall Newhouse.
Because I don't think the offensive line is going to get much better throughout the season. I don't think they're going to have a prolific passing game. So they're going to have a better running game. Sony Michel just had his first good game of the year last week. He needs to show this week it wasn't an aberration, that he can continue getting back on track, that made him a first-round pick and had a really excellent rookie season with New England. So Sony Michel, to make sure we know last week wasn't the aberrant performance for the weekend.
All right, here's a story that'll make Nick happy.
Aberrant is what I meant to
the
say.
The Bengals are 0-5, so yes. Any hopes for the playoffs are
Stutter
all but
man,
gone.
Damn it. Trying to be smart.
So rumors are swirling about trades for 7-time Pro Bowler A.J. Green. That's A.J. Green, Nick. Okay, I just know if you want me to help you pronounce that. Nick, the team you'd like to see A.J. Green with after the trade deadline is blank.
Well, I've mocked A.J. Green to 6 different teams, so I have to narrow it down to one right now. The Seattle Seahawks. Seattle Seahawks right now are a legitimate not only playoff contender, playoff favorite. You add A.J. Green, they become a legitimate Super Bowl contender. I think they need a little more punch on their offense, get Tyler Lockett back to his more natural role as a number two receiver, let D.K. Metcalf come along slower. Seattle Seahawks.
The problem with A.J. and Tyler Lockett play the same position. They play the flanker, which is to the field side. D.K. Metcalf is the big, powerful receiver. You put him to the boundary side. So it's a position fit there. I do believe that the 49ers,
They right? could use him.
Kyle Shanahan, with his overall creativity, and because I said that, he plays the flanker. Who does the 49ers have a tight end? George Kittle, second best tight end in the NFL. Their strong side passing game will become a plus immediately. Kyle Shanahan, man, you guys got the draft capital. You got paper. He fits into that locker room. No maintenance. A non-diva wide receiver, Jenna. See, your favorite.
Real quick, what did you tell me? The whole league funnels towards whom?
New England.
If he ends up getting traded to New England, if they get another bailout from a team that's supposed to be competing with them, oh, my God. Anywhere but New England should have been my answer.
ABP.
Oh, God.
ABP. Sam Darnold is back, but L. Bell doesn't want him to feel the pressure.
I don't think that's going to make it to be a song like
OPP. Sam Darnold doesn't need to be Superman. Some teams need heroics from their quarterback, though. So you see, the quarterback that needs to play like Superman to lead their team to the playoffs is blank.
The one that's wasting the president's time talking to him last week.
Kirk Cousins.
Yeah. They are a quarterback away, and their offensive line is improving. Dalvin Cook is a superstar. Quick feet through the line of scrimmage, making people miss, has explosive ability, a receiver out of the backfield. But our quarterback, he got all the guaranteed money. He got, man, I need you to play some football. Stay out the phone.
The only way for the Houston Texans to make the playoffs, much less be a Super Bowl contender, is for Deshaun Watson to play like Superman. So for me, it is the Texans.
We're not in a debate or anything, but that guy's more likely to be Superman than the guy I picked.
Okay, yeah, well, and his team might need him more because they don't have the Vikings defense, they don't have Dalvin Cook, mm-hmm. they don't have the talent around him. This is my favorite stat of the NFL season. Deshaun Watson in his career has thrown 5 touchdown passes in 100% of the games he hasn't been sacked. Unfortunately for him, that's only been 2 times in his career where he's gone without being sacked. You keep him upright, he is as good as just about anyone in football. They kept him upright last week. We'll see if they can do that this week against Kansas City.
In my next life, I'm coming back as a left tackle. I'm just going to tell you. They're so needed.
Jenna, they're fat, though. Okay. Are you going to be the fittest left tackle ever? You're going to
think it all the way through. I didn't think it through.
No, no, I got you. You're going to be
really.
Bill Fraley.
Nice.
Rip.
That's a throwful. Bill Fraley.
I'm going to have some assistance, though.
So, Pro Football Focus has the Patriots atop their Week 6 power rankings. They're followed by the Saints and the Chiefs. We recognize the cream of the crop at CC, the most underappreciated team in the NFL. Underappreciated is blank.
I'm going to go with because I call him the most underappreciated player, and that's the player you talked about. Deshaun Watson, his outstanding sack since he's been in the league, mm-hmm. when he's not sacked, 2 games, 10 touchdowns in those 2 yeah. games. Man, the Houston Texans, without a general manager, without a direction, I believe that they're underrated. They're starting to adjust to not having Clowney on the defense, mm-hmm. and that offense is prolific. They can score points against any defense out there. The Texans are my choice.
And they got a great opportunity to really explode onto the national radar this week if they beat Kansas City. You have I had said that the quarterback duel we're going to see in the AFC for a decade is Mahomes versus Baker. Maybe it's the one we're going to see this weekend, Mahomes versus Deshaun Watson. So I understand the pick with the Houston Texans. I'm going to say, listen, Pro Football Focus had the Bills 18th. They're 4-1. They got a top 3 defense.
They don't hear how
hot
Buffalo
is. Oh, I'm sorry. No, I was wrong. Pro Football Focus. You had the Bills 19th. They're 4-1, and the one loss came to New England. That's an outrage. Our producer, Dave Urmacher, who's a part-time Bills fan, says I got to give Josh Allen.
He'd be part-time.
He loves the Steelers, but he used to live in the Buffalo area. He likes them both. It's kind of odd because they're both AFC teams.
But like
he
Urmacher.
Says I got to do a better job of recognizing that Josh Allen played one of the better games of his career this past weekend.
And you like Sean McDermott.
I like Sean McDermott. I love the defense. Ed Oliver, you know I liked him coming out of the University of Houston. That's an underrated team. It's going to be a playoff team.
Thank you for listening to the First Things First podcast. Remember, leave us a review and tell us what you think. Subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts and catch us on FS1 Monday through Friday, 6:30 a.m. Eastern. For Chris Carter and Nick Wright, I'm Jenna Wolf. So long, everybody.